Well, I'm delighted to be here, and you may wonder what was the commotion about when I came in, and it's because my sermon is elsewhere, and I thank Morning for looking it up. But I actually teach preaching, and I said that if you can't preach without the notes, it means you have not prepared enough. So I was quite prepared to do that. And others may be wondering, why are you here? Well, actually, I'm not supposed to be here. And I thank Father Leonard for inviting me. I happen to be in the building because, you know, it's really hard to try to retire as a bishop. And I retired in 17, but Archbishop Colin says, you can't leave. I want you to come back and help with Chinese ministry. And I said, well, it depends on who is elected. And he said, well, I can't bail, so you can't bail either. And then, you know, no sooner have I taken on this responsibility, he has gone and retired on us. This life is just not fair. So I'm seeing Bishop Andrew on Monday, and maybe he would let me go. But I'm not going to bet on it. I'm not going to bet on it. But anyway, it's a delight to be here. We have been through quite a bit. Who can forget the long journey we have been, and also the opening of this wonderful building, and it's great to be here to be with two of my favorite people, Leonard and Morning, and we have gone a long way as well. So it's the first Sunday after retirement, and believe it or not, I actually take preaching quite seriously. I want to preach a good sermon. And I look at the gospel, and it talks about broods of vipers, and you don't look like that, you know. You just don't hiss enough, and also I was in Hong Kong, and we eat vipers in Hong Kong, so I don't want to preach about that. So I want to preach something quite different. I'm going to take another tact. So you have three candles, and you know, if you do it right, Leonard, the third Sunday of Advent, you light the pink candle because we want to talk about hope. So I want to talk about hope. You know, we live in a time of great anxiety where hope is a precious and rare commodity. You know, what some of the people said to me when I start to show up at diocesan functions? Well, we are so glad you're back. Because with the tension between China and Canada, they thought that we might be detained, but there's no worries. We're very small fries in international affairs. But we live in times of tension. I think that, if you look at the big picture, with the trade war and with our neighbors in the south, that is quite unpredictable. Who knows what tomorrow may bring? And in churches as well. A lot of churches worry about the future. So I want to share with you an experience of hope from the other side, from the point of view of a priest who had to leave a familiar situation, a parish he loved and was very successful in, but I'm not very sure what the future holds as he steps away from the familiar into a new situation. I'm talking about myself. And I'm not talking about being a bishop. That was kind of easy. But stepping away from St. Theodore, your northern neighbor, into St. Timothy's. So, you know, long story short, I didn't want to leave, but I can count. I was there 8 years. And, some free advice to Morning and Leonard. See, there's a natural lifespan of a priest's stay in a church. If you are smart, you would know that your time is up and you start looking. And then where you have some choices. Or when you stay very long, either the bishop will tell you where to go, in many senses of the word, he'll just leave you, and you will be, staying too long, and people are counting the days, or when is he going to leave? That's a bad idea, so don't do that. So I can count. I was there 8 years, and the bishop wants me to interview, and I interviewed. apparently St. Timothy asked for my name. I know nothing about them. So I went to an interview, and it's supposed to be two interviews, but they went to the first interview, and then I went to Bob Cajun to teach a course. I love teaching, as you know, in the Lay Readers Institute. So I was treated very well. There's this Air Canada pilot. He has the boat the size of, the size of a truck. And he said, you drive it, you know. So I was trying to, you know that driving a boat, driving is no problem. Docking it or parking it is the problem. So he says, you dock it. And just when I was trying to dock this boat, the phone rang. It was the old days when the phone's about this big, right? And he took this and said, it's for you. So forget about the docking. I went, it's for you, it's the bishop. So it's always something that gets my attention. That was Bishop Michael. Get on the phone. He said, Patrick, St. Timothy called me and they wanted you to be their rector. Oh, danger, danger, danger. That was not expected. So I stalled and I said to him, well, there's supposed to be a second interview, right? So he said, well, then you have to go to the second interview. So all through the course, I was worried, should I take it? Should I not take it? And then Bishop Michael came up to Bob Cajun, not just to see me. He's supposed to be there. And it was the Eucharist. And I was part of the group. And when the reading, or to be exact, the canticle was read, it is exactly what's the canticle for today. Isaiah, surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and will not be afraid. And something welled up within. I was crying. It's a good thing I was on the second pew in the sanctuary. Nobody could see me. And at that time, the word stuck so deeply in my heart and tears welled up in my eyes. At that time, the call of the bishop became the call of God. It was the strongest calling I have ever felt in my whole life, more than my call to the priesthood, more than my call to be a bishop. This morning, I want to explore with you the relationship between trust, which is faith, and fear. To the best of my knowledge, this canticle was written by Isaiah when Assyria, the superpower of the day and not a friendly one, was campaigning near Israel. And as we now know, Israel was destroyed by Assyria. The people deported. Isaiah already knew that God would use this nation, Assyria, to purify his people. But Isaiah did not know how. Imagine his situation, trying to minister to a people invaded by a huge power who was reputed to be ruthless and whose presence justified and evoked fear. Well, fear is not all bad, Fear of something definite like Isaiah's fear is something familiar to us. I hope nobody is going to invade Canada, but it's possible. But you and I have experienced a kind of fear that when the phone call, and it's not the bishop, but it's worse, it's the doctor. The doctor's office call you and say, Dr. So-and-so wants you to come in. That's never a good thing, right? Never a good thing. So we know that something is wrong with our bodies. We are afraid, and we don't know what's going to happen. But fear is not always confined to an object. It can be diffused. It can be a general sense of unease. And I do believe that we live in a time where there are many anxieties and many fears. The media does not help. Nobody goes on 10 o'clock news and say, everything is going great, and there's nothing to report. That would not sell any advertisement. You only hear all the bad things. I sometimes believe that our society actually runs on anxiety. Society is telling you, don't just sit there, worry. Don't just sit there, worry. Every day and in every way, we are bombarded by information, even demands to react to danger. Drive defensively, save up for your retirement, check up on your health, and upgrade your skills in case you become less employable. We hear this not only from people who wish us well, but for those who want to sell security. Our SP season is coming, folks. Be alert to fear-mongering. Books, television, radio, even churches, they blare this message at us. Don't just sit there. Worry. Now, fear can be good. Fear can be good. It keeps us out of danger. A little anxiety keeps you alert. We are wired for heightened function with a little adrenaline. This allows you to either fight or flight, to run away. But as we all know, fear can be paralyzing. If you always run on adrenaline, you will run out and you will run around in circles. We can be so paralyzed by fear that we stop taking risks. So we end up being stuck with behavior we already know are not helpful. Fearful people see dangers where they do not exist, and they fall prey to conspiracy theories. I mean, I think I'm a kind of nice guy, but you would not believe that in the early days when I was a bishop, whenever I go into a church, especially a small church, a struggling church, people look at me funny. And after they get to know me, they tell me that I thought you've come to close us down. I'm not that smart. You know, I just want to find out what happened. And I just want to find out what's happening and how can I help. But of course, you know, that happens. And I hope that in St. George's, you do not fall prey to such conspiracy theories. You have a good bishop, Kevin, used to be my regional dean. He is smart and he's open. Fearful people also find groups to blame for the troubles and make enemies while with whom they make enemies with whom they can work together or should work together. Look at our neighbors in the south. Everybody is an enemy. Immigrants are enemies. Muslims are enemies. Canada is an enemy. Is it doing them good? I'm not sure. So paradoxically, fear can put you into danger. So therefore, it is important to develop habits which turns fear into a friend. Turns fear into a friend. First of all, I recommend that we pinpoint our fear and face it. One normal reaction to fear is to run away from it. Much of our prayer is to ask God to divert us from our lives frightening things. When we're faced with them, we pray God to make them go away. And sometimes God does. But other times, it's not going away, and we need another way to deal with fear. That is to walk towards it and face it squarely. Get out of your paralysis. Don't blame other people, but courageously rise up and work with your strength to walk out of danger. For that, you need faith, because you cannot do it yourself. Because there may be things that you need to change. It's so easy to point to everybody else and say, you know, if you were to change, if you were to disappear, then my life would be better. It's a lot harder. Sometimes you need friends to help you. Friends, you know, my favorite saying, I'm your best friend, therefore I would be your harshest critic. You need friends like that to help you do that. And that is where John the Baptist's call to repent comes in. Repent is no more and no less than to turn from a direction that's not helpful, but not simply on your own strength. Isaiah has a simple answer, that answer that helped me so much. Trust in God and don't be afraid. Trust in God and don't be afraid. Isaiah wrote about God's very real salvation in a time of certain defeat. And he talks about God's defense in the midst of it. Similarly, St. Paul told the people of the Philippi in the second lesson, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. He did not tell you to rejoice at the doctor's phone call and said that you have a terrible disease. Don't rejoice for that, but rejoice in that. Because even though I may have this terrible disease, I have friends. I have faith. I have Ohip, very important. And so you can rejoice and give thanks, and that thankfulness and that gladness will strengthen you to face your fear. Do you know that Paul wrote these words while he was in prison? Huh? Can't be a great time. Paul says, the Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. By this time, you already know that our beloved Alan Kirk has died. I think the funeral will be on Thursday, and I think I am doing it. What impressed me about Alan is that while I was still bishop, he came to me and said, you know, I have Alzheimer's, but I want to chronicle my journey so that it becomes a resource for other people. What courage! What an example of not running away from danger, but walking towards it and using his ailment as a blessing to other people. God will not always take you out of danger or hardship or disappointment, but God will always walk with you and bring you all those resources within and around you so you can face them. A parent cannot always protect a child from a needed surgery, even as minor as going to the dentist. But she and he will hold his hand to the door of the operating room or to the dentist's chair, and will be the first one to hold his hand when he wakes up. What more will our Heavenly Father do with us and to us? The Lord is near. The hand of God is always extended to us. Be sure that your hand reaches out to grasp his. I don't believe in a God who promised us a life free of troubles, who will banish illness and, for some people, make you rich. Not that God. That's a witch doctor religion. I believe in a God who promises to walk with us. I believe that God will share our burden. I believe that God is the inner spring of strength. I believe that God enables us to handle deftly the slings and arrows of life. And I believe in God's real protection, not so much against slings and arrows, but through them by strengthening the core of our being. So, name your anxieties and your fears, personal ones, as a church. Name your dangers and your annoyances. They are real and they can be powerful. But you know, God is more powerful and God is greater. Therefore, I too rejoice. I too give thanks, even in adversity, not out of desperation, but out of sheer confidence in the God of abundance. that we ask for these things. Pray for anything and everything. Pray for discernment in your church. Pray for your future. Pray for leadership of your priest and deacon. I know it's old-fashioned to memorize scripture, but I actually grew up in that. It doesn't actually hurt to memorize these verses. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. Rejoice in the Lord always. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May this be an Advent blessing to you. Amen.